feeling it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Daryl Kendrick coming to you live from Southern California. Welcome. Today is November the 1st. The time is 3:30, and we're coming out of Southern California, where it's a beautiful day, real beautiful day. The weather is beautiful. It's nice outside, and just glad to be here among the living. Unlike some folks who are dead men walking, we are the living of the dead. God has resurrected us and made us, given us life and life more abundantly, and he's given us opportunity to enjoy this life in him, in Christ Jesus, being his first fruits, the ones who he has raised from the dead and made us living, living, walking, breathing, and active in a relationship with him. And this is the installment of Dead Men Walking Part 2-4 on Blog Talk Radio. For those who would like to call in, 646-668-8468 is a call-in number, 646-668-8468. If you're on looking on Periscope, or if you're listening on the player, you can always log in. Minister Big Ken 65, if you don't catch us live on the air, you can always log on Minister BIGKEN 65, and you can be able to access these podcasts 24/7, and you can there's over 650 of them, so plenty of studies, plenty of Bible lessons for us to grow in the Word of God, amen. And I just want to encourage each and every one of you to pick up your Bible daily, pick up your Bible with attitude, Lord, teach me. Not pick up your Bible, oh, let me get my 15 or 20 minutes or 30 minutes in. No, pick up your Bible with the attitude, Lord, I want to learn. I want to gain wisdom. I want to gain instruction in holiness and godly living. With that being said, let's go before the Lord in prayer, and then we'll have some quick announcements, and then we'll get into this lesson. Amen. Father God, again, thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for the goodness that you bestow upon us daily, Lord. When you give us the breath to breathe and a mindset that we can wake up knowing you and the power of your resurrection, we thank you, Father, for loving on us and loving us unconditionally, but yet you still require obedience from us, Lord, because you love us. Lord, right now, Lord, we want to decrease. We want you to increase in us. Show us what it means to walk in holiness and newness as the Word of God penetrates our mind and our heart, and as your Spirit brings correction to our soul. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this day in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen, amen, amen. For anybody that's in the Los Angeles area this evening, I know a lot of people some people might be listening. If you, ladies especially, ladies tonight, Core Church of Los Angeles, www.corechurchla.org, or Core Church of Los Angeles, you can go to 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034. They have on Tuesday nights, we have a women's Bible class, a women's Bible study. Maybe you're coming from the west side of Los Angeles. Maybe you're coming, you're on your way home. This is a time for women to plug in together. Plug into the Word of God in dealing with issues of women, for women. It's taught by a woman. It's for the women. And it's an opportunity for you to grow in the Word of God as a woman. So please don't miss that opportunity. Maybe your church doesn't offer that, but you can go to Core Church on Tuesday nights and fellowship with a great group of women that are growing in their faith and taking the walk of God that God has called them, taking that relationship very serious. And they're using their gifts, their time, talent, and treasure for the glory of God. Also, for Thursday nights, we have Core Church Thursday night Bible study for everybody, and that's at 7:30 as well on Thursday nights. Again, you go to the website for all the services and times and everything that's being offered at Core Church. Saturdays, we have a Core Central class for new believers. If you're in the Los Angeles area, please come out, check that out, plug in, get yourself grounded and rooted in the Word of God. Hey, good evening, Sister Amy. God bless you. God bless you. Like I was saying, if you're in the Los Angeles area, please come check out Core Church of Los Angeles. go to the website, www.corechurchla.org, and see what we have to offer. Maybe this is a place where you, where God is calling you to plug in and to use your spiritual gift for his glory. Also, I want to just invite you guys to check out the live streams that I do on Facebook Live, as well as Periscope. You can go to find me on Periscope at Minister Daryl Kendrick on Periscope. Minister Daryl Kendrick on Periscope. Just put that, just put it in your search engine, and it'll take you to me where you can listen. Right now, it's over 225, 26 videos that have been uploaded. So if you have Periscope, or if you don't have Periscope, you can download Periscope and be able to listen to these live streams and watch them. I try to do, and then as well as on Facebook Live, you can be able to catch these live streams on Facebook Live by going to Daryl Kendrick on Facebook. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at dkendricksr65 and at Gmail, dkendricksr@gmail.com. I'm just one guy trying to make a difference as far as doing my part for the kingdom of God to increase, stimulate one another, stimulate my brothers and sisters to, you know, hey, fall in love with Jesus through his word. And as we get into this lesson again, you'll see how important the word is and how important it is for us to maintain an ongoing relationship with God through the word so that we can be men and women who are maturing in our faith. You know, there's no such thing as a Christian that does not want to read God's word, or you're just picking up the word of God sporadically. For us to be effective for the kingdom of God, we must study to show ourselves approved laborers that need not be ashamed, rightly divide the word of truth. Because I'm telling you, friends, you can't make it without the word of God. And you can't make it if the word of God is not getting into your spirit, man. I mean, getting into your soul. So, with that being said, again, I want to just welcome everybody that's here or that'll be listening. Dead Men Walking Part 4. Yesterday, we looked at Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 11. I won't recap the whole thing, but I will go back and look and bring us up to date about how important it was for us to look at our walk and our relationship. From verses 4:11, he says, "But if we die, then there is the promise of real life, resurrected life." We're talking about Romans 6, verse 4 through 11. Many Christians don't find the power of the resurrection in their life because they have never died. In other words, they've never died to their self. They've never died to the sinful nature of their relationship. It's been one dimension, you know. They want the relationship. They want fire insurance, but they're not willing to give up their sin. They're not willing to give up that carnal nature. They're not willing to give up themselves and their right to be right. And we see what happens. He says, if you died with him, you will be raised with him, not only one day at the last trump, but right now in this life. In Romans 8:11, he says, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies." Your mortal body is now, not then. Your mortal body is now, not then. We go back to Romans 6:6-7. He says, "We're no longer slaves but free. You and I have been freed because of the Christ, because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, because of what he did on Calvary's cross. We have been set free once we placed our faith." That means I placed my trust. I believed in Jesus Christ. That word belief is pistol. It means to surrender, total surrender to the cross, total surrender to Jesus Christ. He is the one that we believe in, we trust in, we walk in, not just today, but forever. This is a relationship. It's a marriage covenant. He also goes on to say your mortal body is we need to see that we're no longer slaves but free. And the question is, are you free? Am I free? If there is a habitual repeating of the same sin in your life, then you have not been free from from the master or by the master, he's not set you free. Because God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, he will reap. The carnal nature, it is still a hard, demanding master. It shouts. Your carnal nature is still screaming at you, I want this, I need this, I deserve this. But your new nature, the nature that Christ has given you, is at war with the old nature. And when you wake up in the morning and consider taking up the cross, that master screams no. So we know that our fleshly, that old nature, that nature that still has that sin nature. This is the nature that won't be totally eradicated or vindicated until we get to glory. We're still going to have to carry this flesh around, and since we're going to have to carry this flesh around, and I said this yesterday, God is not, until he gives us a glorified body, we're going to still be fighting sin. But we have the power to fight sin, where before the cross, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and there was nothing we could do but be sinful. See, a lot of people don't understand that. As believers, before the cross, before Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, man's sinful nature always was leading them into sin and was going to keep them in bondage to sin. You could try to do the right thing. You could try to be a moral person and live a moral life. You could not obtain that mission. You are not going to make it. But this new, because we have the Holy Spirit in us now, we have the ability to live a life that's pleasing to God. Even though we make choices to sin, we do it with a clear conscience, but before, we did it because that was our fallen nature, and it was ruling and reigning over us. He says, and when you wake up in the morning and consider taking up the cross, that master, the old nature, Satan, the flesh, the world, all three of them are still working against us. They're still working against us. Friends, let me be honest with you about me. I'm still fighting me. The biggest enemy I got is me. I know what I'm capable of doing. I know what I'm capable of giving into. If I'm not putting on the full armor of God, if I'm not waking up with an attitude to serve Jesus Christ, if I wake up carnal, friends, oh, that's going to be a bad day. If I wake up with a mindset that I really don't want to worship, I don't want to pray, I don't want to get into God's word, I don't feel like doing the things that are spiritual and godly, then guess what? The flesh will definitely step in and say, I got this, girl. You don't want to go before the Lord. You don't want to be refreshed. You don't want to do things God's way. Okay, it's party time today. We're gonna step up and we're gonna get out there and have our flesh. We're gonna have a flesh-a-thon. And I'm not talking about just going out there and just getting out there, but I'm just saying, if I'm not doing things for the kingdom, then I start thinking worldly. I start thinking in my flesh. And I start to think with the mind of the flesh or by the power of the flesh versus the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we can, it can be subtle at first, and then it becomes you grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to beat our bodies into submission, Paul said, daily. We need that. But let us consider the example of one who took up his cross daily. From the time he was born, he was on his way to Golgotha, the place he was crucified, because he was crucified before the foundation of the world. He was crucified before the foundation of the world was laid. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, he rose and picked up that beam. In prayer, he said to the Father each day, "Not my will, but yours be done." And because he said it each day, the hour of temptation in the garden came. And he could say it again. Jesus Christ did this every day. Remember, Jesus spent 33 and a half years on planet Earth. And he was 100% God and he was 100% man. It was times he veiled his deity, yet the humanity of him was still tempted just like we all are. But he was never with sin. He was never one who gave in to sin. But you and I, we're tempted, and guess what? We will fall into sin at some place, some point. We don't have to, but we choose to. We do make those bad choices. Jesus never made that choice. I'm so glad that Christ is our advocate for sin. I'm so glad, and it's not for us to. It's not so I can say, well, I got a sin. I got somebody that's going to just, you know, step in because of my sin, and I'm just going to keep on sinning. No, that's not the heart of a believer. But we still going to mess up. But yet God is still going to keep picking us up as long as we demonstrate that we're striving. See, true believers are striving to stay away from sin, make believers continue to make excuses for their sin and say, oh, God is, you know, God loves me. Me and God is good. He know my heart. Stop with the lies. Because if you read that, you would know that the Bible says that your heart is sick and desperately wicked. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. God was able to use him so mightily because he was dead. He was a dead man walking. See, when you and I pick up our cross daily, we say no longer will this world have the priority in our life. No longer will the flesh be prioritized. But Jesus will be the priority. Holiness will be the priority. Lifting up and encouraging our brothers and sisters will be our mandate and will be the way, the reason that we live. See, when we put Christ first, we become selfless, and then the flesh can't have victory. But when we put ourselves first, the flesh gets all the victory. Dead men walk in the resurrection. Dead men walk in the resurrection power, Ephesians 1:17 through 21. They are no longer slaves to men, but are slaves to God, to righteousness. Romans 6:18 teaches us. Each day you rise and you say, Lord, what would you have your servant to do, and how would you have me to do it? See, that should be the desire of every believer on planet Earth. Every born-again Christian should have a desire to be a servant of God. The word doulos means slave. Each and every one of us should have a desire to be a slave to Jesus, a slave of righteousness, a servant, a bond servant, one who is lined up with the will of God to do God's will daily. And when we wake up with an attitude that we want to serve, that we want to be obedient to him, he is pleased. And he gives us that grace. He gives us a desire to be more like him and less like ourselves. He tells us, he says, each day that we rise up, we need to ask the question, what would you have me to do? As you go to do it, Jesus does it in you. So you might not feel like, I like the way Pastor Stephen put it to us the other day. He was giving an example of him being on a plane, and he had been up in Seattle ministering and sharing the gospel for the Harvest Crusade, and he's up there and he was tired. He's playing late at night. They didn't want to put him in a hotel. So he gets on a plane. He's the only one on the plane. And then God is, he doesn't want to talk to nobody. He doesn't want to say anything. Nobody wants to rest. He's tired. He's going to get home back to L.A. late or back into California late. But God had a mission for him. Not my will, but thy will be done. Each and every one of us should have that desire, no matter how we feel. Because he tells us to be ready in season and out of season, when it feels good and when it doesn't feel good, when we're tired and when we're energized. We should have a desire to serve him. Not my will, but thy will be done. And Lord, what would you have me to do? Because we don't know how many souls are on the line. We don't know how many people need to hear the truth. All we need is one person to hear it. If more hear it, great. But all we need is one, just one, to know the power of the resurrection and the power of the one who can resurrect us and make us living vessels. As you and I go and do what Jesus has called us to do, Jesus does it in us by his power, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You find it is no longer your peace, but his peace manifested in you. It is no longer your strength or wisdom or love, but it is his own very being manifested in your mortal life. Wow. Now, if your heart isn't racing a little faster, you haven't experienced it or you don't yet have the vision for it. Look, anytime you are ministering to somebody, you should just feel the overflowing love of Jesus Christ in the fact that God is using you to speak to somebody else's life. Speak encouragement, speak love, speak peace, speak joy, speak patience and kindness and self-control. That's the gospel. You're not speaking your will or your words. You're speaking his will and his words. And you're encouraging them to follow him, not you. I'm going to always fall short. I'm not the standard, but Christ is. We should have a desire to be a vessel of honor used by God on a daily basis. Without him, we can't do nothing. Do you believe that? One of the favorite quotes from Oswald Chambers: the thing that ought to make the heart beat is a new way of manifesting the Son of God. The thing that makes the heart beat is a new way of manifesting the Son of God. But the only way to experience that is death. Death to your will and way and ability, and the ability to all your own nature. We must be crucified so that we can live. We must be crucified that we would have life and life more abundantly. We got to die, that we would become dead men walking or dead women walking. That's the beauty of the cross, friends. That's the beauty of the cross, that we first have to die that we can live for all eternity. Right now, we're just dead men walking down here. As believers, we're dead men walking. We start to really, really, really live when we get to glory. 646-668-8468. If you want prayer at the end of this message, you can call in now, and we'll be more than happy to lift you up as when we close it off. We'll probably be here maybe another 35, 40 minutes. But you can call in now, 646-668-8468. If you don't catch us live, remember you can catch us 24/7 by going to Minister Big Ken 65, and you can get access into the Prodigal Church Hour on Blog Talk Radio 24/7, and you can access over 650 messages that have been done, podcasts that have been done. And please, friends, if you've been blessed by these messages, share them with family and friends. Share them with loved ones. Share them with non-believers, especially. They need to know that Jesus Christ loves them and that he wants to save them, but they must come by faith. They must trust in the finished work of Calvary's cross so that they too can become dead men walking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. The only way we can experience that is to die. The only way we can experience life is through death. Death to your will and your way and ability, to all your old nature. Pronounce your own sentence. Put the cross on the man. Put the cross on the man, dead man walking. And then as you hear the directives of the Holy Spirit and obey the very life of Christ, he will help us. He will help you to do that job as he would do it. He will help you to offer to pray for that friend and then pray through you. Wouldn't that be awesome? We have to die. We must die to live. You and I must die so we can have life and life more abundantly. I believe the disciples began to die when they backed away from Jesus in the garden. See, the gospel say they had all said, "Not me, Lord. I will never leave you. I would die with you." But then they found out that they could not overcome their own fear. And we know that perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. That's why the more you are grounded and rooted, the more you're getting into God's word, the more that you're meditating on the word of God and allowing the Spirit of God to massage your heart and love on you, the more you will the less you'll be fearful of this world, of the flesh and the devil. We need to understand there's nothing to fear when you're with Christ. Nothing to fear. See, if I fear God, let me see if I can get this right. The more I fear God, the less I'll fear man. The less I fear God, I will fear everything. I will fear everything. I know I probably messed that up, but that's the real deal. See, the more you have an awe, reverence for a holy God, and you're in his word, and the word of God is giving you courage through the word. It's through the word that we can be strong in our walk. And we don't worry about death. We don't worry about what's going to happen to us physically. We are more concerned about what will happen without him, without that relationship, without Jesus Christ. I got to walk in the Spirit to experience that. I must have that Holy Spirit relationship, Christ in me. I must die so I can live and live for him. The disciples had a fear in the garden. They were concerned. They didn't get it yet. They didn't understand that this relationship was going to mean they were going to have to die. Christ was about to go to the cross. He was about to give his life for their life. They wouldn't understand what it truly meant to die until Christ died. They wouldn't understand what it meant to be resurrected till Christ had been resurrected. And to this day, friends, many souls, many people that come to church and hear the gospel, they still haven't understood that they have to die. They must become a dead man walking or a dead woman walking. Even after the women came with eyewitness accounts that it was true, that they still couldn't believe and didn't go to Galilee like they had been told. Finally, Jesus had to make a personal appearance. They couldn't catch fish either. After the ascension, they couldn't just wait. They had to pick a replacement for Judas. Finally, they do what they should have done all along. They pray, and when you pray, realizing you can't do it, you ask for his life to do it in you. And suddenly, the bumbling Pete, who can't even say he is Jesus' friend, delivers a powerful message of conviction by the Holy Spirit. What happened? They died to their own ways and own strength and waited for the resurrected life of Jesus to operate in them. Then what a difference we see in these men and women. See, it's in Christ, friends. It's in Christ. Some folks, they get it immediately, and some folks, they have to go through the process of sanctification, which causes them to, they have to go through this, they have to get out their own way. See, we are our own worst enemy, and because we are our own worst enemy, we find ourselves fearful instead of faithful. Let me say that again, fearful instead of faithful. See, these men had to go through this process after the resurrection. They were still nervous. They were still wondering, what would Jesus do, or what was he going to do? See, they wanted to set up a kingdom down here. Their agenda was not the same agenda as God had for them. Christ had to come to die in our place. He had to take our disgrace to the cross. He had to redeem us that we would have life and life more abundantly. And then he had to give us the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to come in and make us a new creation. And until the Holy Spirit came upon them, they did not get it. See, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they really became alive. They were dead men walking, but they were alive because they had been resurrected. They were given boldness to preach the cross without fear, without worry. Remember, Peter said, are we to obey God or man? And the answer was simple. I'm not worried about what they're going to do to me. It doesn't matter if they come after me. It doesn't matter what they do to me. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to preach the cross to the lost. One of the things that Satan hates is the resurrection. He had a priest pay soldiers to lie about it. Why? It means he is defeated. It was at the cross, friends. It was when he bruised, he crushed Satan's head. It was at the cross when Jesus rose from the grave. He conquered death. It was at the cross, friends, that he gave humanity a new life, an opportunity to have an ongoing and ongoing, genuine, authentic relationship where man would be redeemed. See, the thing about us compared to Lucifer is that man, Satan can't be redeemed. He cannot be born again. Satan can never be in right standing with God because he broke the covenant, and that covenant is irrevocable. Angels who left their domain, angels who walked away from the holiness of God, they have forfeited the right to be redeemed. You don't see any angels being able to repent. Nowhere in Scripture. Those fallen angels that left, that were kicked out of heaven, they have no redemption. They have no redemption. Lucifer will have no redemption. He will spend eternity in the lake of fire. It's just a matter of time. Humanity can be redeemed. Humanity can be born again. Humanity can become dead men walking. Satan was defeated. What was the chief function of the apostles? To bear witness of the resurrection. How did they do it? Not only did they say our own eyes have seen death and was defeated, but they walk in resurrected power themselves. Imagine the hate Satan has for that. He thought he did away with Jesus, and that death meant Jesus' defeat. Then he thinks he is defeating you, and suddenly you choose to die. Oh, no, he's seen this before. He didn't want us to confess and repent. He didn't want us to die to our flesh and our mess and to be resurrected and made new creations. He doesn't want that. He hates it. Please don't confess. Please don't repent. He's trying to offer you every ungodly act, every temptation he wants us to have. He wants us to come into sepulcher. I should say, he wants us to come into that old graveyard of sin and temptation. Whatever it was that you loved in the past, he's trying to draw it out. If you have a problem with women, he'll give you more. If you have a problem with lust, he'll feed that. If you need money, he'll feed that. He'll give you all the temptations of the world to keep you away from the resurrected Christ. He didn't want us to be resurrected. He doesn't want us to be new creation. He doesn't want us to be born again. He doesn't want it. But God already made a plan for us. And his plan won't be 40. It won't be stopped. The cross of Christ, friends, is for everyone who will trust Jesus Christ by faith. Everyone who will deny themselves and pick up their cross daily. For those who are no longer making excuses, but making repentance and saying, Lord, not thy will, but my will. Not my will, but thy will be done. Satan then thinks he is defeating you, and suddenly you choose to die. Oh, no, he's seen this before. Once you are dead, you'll be back. A dead man walking. Resurrected life. He thinks he did Jesus in, and now Jesus is everywhere. See, we are little Christ down here. I'm not talking about God. We're little Christ, little Messiahs. We have been born again. We are ambassadors of Christ. We represent Christ. We have resurrected power, resurrection power. We have conquered the grave. And because Jesus Christ has paid for our sin, we are no longer under the condemnation of that sin. But we're made new. We're alive. As dead men walk, and we are alive in Jesus. I want to remind us, let's go back here to Romans 6, because I didn't read it, but let me remind you, and it's good to go back and look at, just be reminded over and over and over again how important it is that we take in the cross. Remember, he tells us here, verse 4, he says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Remember, notice dead, raised, newness. Verse 5, for if we have been united with him in the death, like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we should no longer be enslaved to sin. Verse 7, for one who has died has been set free. Notice that death sets us free. When we die to self, we're set free. Set free from sin. Not just set free to be walking around as some kind of, well, which way do I go, George? No, we're set free from the power of darkness and from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over you, for the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God, so that you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Verse 12 is interesting, even though it's not in my notes, but he says this: let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey his passions. Don't let it reign in there. In other words, you have to, the moment that sin starts to try to resonate in you, you got to cast it out. The Bible says cast down every imagination. Cast down those impurities. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ so you make no provision for your flesh. Don't let sin reign in you. See, when sin is reigning, it's boiling. It's kind of like slow cooking. Kind of like you put it in a crock pot. You threw sin in there and you waiting for it to get done. Well, friends, if sin is reigning in us, that means that we ain't been dead. We ain't been crucified. If we're allowing sin to reign, it's going to start getting done. And guess what? It's going to start taking us back to the old way of thinking and the old life. Notice, he says in verse 12, mortal body, the only remaining repository. Let me get my magnifying glass. I apologize, but these old eyes just ain't what they used to. Hallelujah. He says the only remaining repository where sin finds the believer vulnerable, the brain and its thinking process, as a man thinketh, so is he. He tells us are part of the body, and thus tempts our souls with its sinful lust. You can read Romans 8:22-23, 1 Corinthians 15-53, 1 Peter 2:9-11. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:9-11. 1 Peter 2:9-11. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:9-11. He tells us this: but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of what? Of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people, God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of your flesh, which wage war against your soul. See, we can't let sin reign in us. He tells us in Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey the passions. Don't do it. Then he goes on in verse 13. He says, do not present your members to sin as an instrument for unrighteousness. see, when you're dead in Christ, meaning you're alive with him, you're walking, ambassador of the resurrected Christ because he has made us a new creation, he tells us what? Do not present your members to sin as an instrument of unrighteousness. Look, when I first gave my life to the Lord, I was fine for about 6 years. Then, you know, a lot of trials and temptation, things came knocking at the door. Instead of handling it the right way, I allowed my flesh to get taken back. I allowed this to happen. This is where I failed at. He says, do not present your members to sin as an instrument of unrighteousness. That's where Christians fall short. They allow themselves. They hang out in places they shouldn't hang out. They start to be around people that can corrupt them and cause them to fall. The Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. Don't be unequally yoked. Not just in a relationship of, you know, somebody you're going to marry, but a relationship with a believer and an unbeliever. You need to be the light in that relationship. Don't allow them to be the darkness over your light. He tells us this. Do not present your members. This is your body function, your hands, your arms, your feet, your eyes, your mouth, whatever it is. Don't let your instrument, don't present your body as an instrument for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. We don't have no excuse. None of us has an excuse. None of us have any excuse when we've been resurrected and made a new creation. God has called us to be the walking dead of God's grace. Not to live in sin, not to live as a slave to sin because we've been bought. Let me turn here. Let's go back to, remember the Romans 6:6, he tells us. Notice what he said here. I don't want us to miss this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we should no longer be enslaved to sin. He said we was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Sin was crucified. The old body was crucified. The old nature was crucified, but we have been raised up in resurrection power. Jesus didn't tell, he's not telling us to do anything that he didn't equip us and deliver us from. Sin doesn't have control over us anymore. That's why he says, let not. We make a choice. Let not. When sin is knocking at the door, we feel the urge, we feel the pull of sin, Satan and the world trying to pull us out, we can say, I get behind me, Satan. Get ye behind me. Sometimes you got to talk to your flesh. Shut up. Tell your flesh to shut up. When it's craving sin, when it's craving unrighteousness, you got to tell it to shut up in the name of Jesus. See, the word of God, when it comes out your mouth, it must have conviction power. It must have, you must be in the spirit. Now, if you over there entertaining it, and you keep entertaining it, you ain't got no power. You fall just like David. King David was a man after God's own heart, yet that second look got him in big trouble. Because next thing you know, hey, I want her. I know she's somebody else's wife, but I want her. Come on, Bathsheba. I'm the king, and you coming up here and play. See, we make choices. We make choices. But God has given us truth to set us free. He's given us the truth, and the truth will set us free. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from choosing to die to yourself. That's Satan's mission. He wants to keep you and I in bondage to sin. He wants to keep us making excuses for sin. He wants to keep us falling and tripping and slipping. And then we get so frustrated that we'll just say, forget it, man. I can't do this. I have talked to so many professing or used to be Christians. I used to be a Christian until I found out that so-and-so or this was right or that was right. No, you was never a Christian. You just had a name. but you didn't have no fame. See, our fame is in Christ. He's the one that made this possible. He's the one that set me free. And because I'm trusting in him, not just in name alone, but in him, what he did on the cross by faith. I didn't have to see it, but I know it to be true because I know what I used to be a slave to. I know that I'm no longer a slave to that which I used to be a slave to. Am I perfect? No. Am I sinless? No. Have I been resurrected? Yes. Am I dead man walking? Absolutely. Not because of me, but because of what he did on Calvary's cross, he made it possible that I would be resurrected and I would be given new life in Christ Jesus. Satan is going to make sure that he does everything he can to keep us from choosing to die to self. He doesn't want us to pick up our cross daily. He wants us to pick up sin daily. He wants us to entertain the flesh daily. He wants us to love this world daily. But you and I make choices every day. And we're going to choose life in Christ or death in this world system and Satan in the flesh. Because the resurrected life of Jesus is the one thing he fears the most. Satan fears any believer. He hates any time a believer comes out of darkness and comes to the light. He hates it. And he's going to do everything he can to draw them back. He don't know your heart, but he's definitely going to try to tempt you to find out if you're really sincere. Just like he did, Job. I read a message earlier. Go back and listen to my live streams Daryl Kendrick on Facebook. Daryl Kendrick on Facebook and catch my live stream. The one I did earlier was, my mind. I'm having a brain fizzle. Help me, Lord. I can't even remember what I taught earlier. That's a shame. I got so many messages here. If I don't write them down, I will go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs trying to remember. But our message earlier was just this very thing about making sure. Oh, come on now, Holy Spirit. Help me out, Lord. I'll think of it in a few minutes. But the message was basically that we need to wow, I thought I was going to snatch it up. But the enemy trying to keep me with a mental block here. Oh, gosh. Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. That's okay. Anyway, if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see my message that I taught earlier. And it was basically, I used Job as the example that Satan was allowed to tempt Job. He was allowed to take down his whole family. He was allowed to come against Job to get Job to discredit our wonderful God, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was allowed to do everything to Job, except he could not kill him. God might allow Satan to have at you. He might allow, maybe it's not Satan, maybe it's one of those little demons that just a private. Maybe it's not a captain or a colonel or four-star general. Maybe it's just a little buck private that he's using him to sharpen you, to refine you. But the point is, look, if God allows Satan to come after us or sends one of his imps after us, what are we going to do? How are we going to respond? How are we going to live? We need to realize Satan is going to do his job, whatever he can, to destroy us and to try to take our credibility. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Christ resurrected us. The resurrected life Jesus gave us is non-revocable if we are truly trusting him by faith. Colossians 3:1 says, since you have been raised with Christ, since you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Have you been raised? Not unless you died. You haven't been raised with Christ unless you and I have died to our sin and our old nature. Only in Christ have we been crucified. Only in Christ have we been buried with him and made alive. And the resurrection power comes by way of us trusting him by faith. We need to set our hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things, for you died. Did you die? Did you truly die? Did you surrender your will to have to do it his way? And your life is now hidden in Christ. Every believer who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ, their life should be hidden in Christ. People shouldn't see you. They should see Christ in you. We don't get none of the glory. He gives the glory. He takes the credit for it. All we do is say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I am no longer the standard, but Christ is the standard. That is not the end of the battle. It is the beginning of many victorious battles. In Romans 6 and Colossians 3, death and resurrected life results in victories over the flesh, setting it aside. The only reason you can do it is because of that resurrected life now available to you, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit continues to empower us and equip us to be able to stand the test of the battle, is to be able to walk in a resurrected power. That's why Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is a power. God has given us life through death. When we died to self, he gave us new life, the resurrected life. We've been buried and baptized into Christ. That's why it's a good thing to die to self. Pick up your cross daily. Each day you take up the cross, you can be dead. You can be a dead man walking or a dead woman walking in the power of the resurrected Lord. His very life can be manifested in you and me if we are willing to die. Every day we choose to walk in our own ways or do our own thing to save our life, or we choose to surrender to the life of Christ in us, we put our foot on the throat of the old nature and see it dead on the cross. Consider the power of the resurrection, but it's the resurrection that is available for you to walk in each day. One way results in futility and the loss of real life. The other is a way to find out what your Heavenly Father really has in store for you. His plan is so much better than anything you could come upon on your own. As you and I lay up our treasures in heaven, you are often unaware that it is happening. But one day you will see, we will see all the fruit that Christ has produced from a life surrendered to his very life, a life that has chosen to be co-labor with him. Amen. Co-laborers with him. A resurrected life. This life is a life that frees us up, others, to be able to lift up and encourage our brothers and sisters as we walk in newness, as we walk in victory, as we walk with Jesus on a daily basis. Will you join the family of God today and come into a relationship? Are you willing to be part of the walking dead? Are you willing to be resurrected in newness and made alive? All you got to do is just confess your sin. It's not about you going to church. It's not about you trying to do a bunch of good deeds. It's not about none of all that. None of that means nothing unless you are ready to die. Unless you're ready to die to your will and pick up your cross and follow him, you have no will. You're a dead man. You're dead in your trespasses instead of dead into your trespasses. Christ wants to give you new life. But it starts at the cross. It starts with a relationship. You must be crucified with Christ so that you can live. And you can find freedom and forgiveness in Jesus. If you just confess your sins, repent of your sins, and trust Jesus Christ for a new life. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you again. We just thank you for the power, the resurrected power from the grave, Lord. We've been purchased. The old man has been done away with, and we've been given new life through the resurrection, through the baptism, the death, and the burial of Jesus Christ. Because of his death, Lord, we die to self. Because of his resurrection, Lord, we have been resurrected in newness and made alive, and we are now the walking dead. But it's a good thing. We're not zombies, Lord, walking around like catty, chatty dogs or walking around trying to get our own agenda or do things our way. No, we're doing it your way. We're doing it your way, Lord, because you first loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die on a piece of wood. He carried his cross. He carried our cross. He carried the sins of all the world, of all the humanity. He carried it to the place of the dead. He carried it so we wouldn't have to. And, Lord, you've given us a new life and a new perspective and a new direction through the death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you, Lord, for loving us first for our sin debt. And let us help others, Lord, find the way of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except by him. We love you, we praise you, bless you, in Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, friends, hey, what a great series. What a great series. You just heard part four of The Dead Men Walking, and I pray that this has ministered to you. And please, again, friends, if you're being blessed, if you were blessed by this series, share it with your family, friends, lost ones. Let them know about how they can be dead men walking and how they can have a relationship, a real relationship with the living God, the living Lord of our lives, the one who purchased us, the one who has resurrected us, the one who's given us new life, the one who has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Let them know. You know, sometimes it gets a little discouraging because I'm really convinced that it's just so many dead people walking, you know. People don't want the truth no more. They want to be lied to. They were looking for something other than the true and living God. Well, I can't compromise because I wouldn't be loving you and I wouldn't be truthful if I started doing that. If I started selling you something that's not in the Bible, then I'm basically telling you a lie. And that's not love. Love is not lying to people. Love is telling them the truth. And the truth will set us free if we truly trust him. Doesn't mean we're going to get everything we want the way we want it, but it does mean we're going to get what we need, and we need him. We need him every day, all day. But we need him based on scripture and not based on scripture. So I want to just encourage each and every one of you to pick up your cross daily. If you are a believer, pick it up. Stand on the word of God and believe him by faith as your Lord and Savior. Confess your sins and trust in him and him alone, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the bread of life, Jesus the living water, Jesus the Lamb of God. Trust him by faith. Hey, I'm Minister Daryl Kendrick. It's been a pleasure to be here with you today. Again, if you've been blessed by this ministry, pray for us, that God will continue to use us in a mighty way. And if you can, prayerfully consider donating a love offering to the GoFundMe account, which you can find on my Facebook Live page on Facebook at Daryl Kendrick. Also, please consider please stand with us in prayer and write me a letter if you're being blessed by this ministry. If it's ministering to you, send me a little note. Let me know what you think about us. How is it affecting you? Is it encouraging you? Is it stimulating you to love and good deeds and that you may grow in God's word? That's all that matters, friends, is are you growing in the faith? Are you growing and applying the word of God daily? May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. In Jesus' holy name, we thank you and praise you. We say amen, amen, amen. God bless you.